Woolworths announced this afternoon that it's removing a certain baby carrier product from all its stores and online platforms with immediate effect. This follows businesswoman Shannon McLaughlin protesting on social media about the company copying her baby carrier designs to the T. It was brought to her attention in December last year when someone sent her a picture of baby carriers that Woolies was selling that looked almost identical to what she had painstakingly designed over a number of years. Woolworths has since apologised to Ms. McLaughlin, and she said not to have an appetite to go down the legal route. So what lessons can be drawn from this sorry episode? I'm joined on the line by Jeremy Sampson. He's MD at Brand Finance Africa, and Bastian Costa. He's a patent attorney and trademark specialist at Fonsadel's law firm. Jeremy, this is a big blow for Woolies and seemingly an admission that indeed some copying did go on their part. How could there have been such a lapse, given that if caught, the reputational harm would be so severe? Could this have been an innocent mistake even?
That's a great question, Nomfu, to kick this one off. how long have you got? Because, yes, as you say, Woolworths have got into difficulties before. As someone else said, they're too big a target to miss if you aim for them. But I think a lot of people will be rather disappointed with the way they've handled this. Yes, we know it's a difficult period from sort of mid-December to mid-January. But even so, given the size of the organization, the attention to detail that normally permeates everything they do, the way they've taken a bit of time to respond to this, given all the difficulties granted, has been disappointing. And I see now they're really playing catch up this afternoon. I've only seen briefly something that was put out on Twitter. I haven't seen the full text, but now they seem to have got their act together and now they're behaving more professionally, something that quite bluntly they should have been doing a couple of weeks ago.
Bastian, Ms. McLaughlin has opted not to sue Woolies, and she's of course got the apology and the product off the Woolies shelves that she demanded. But if she had opted to sue them, what recourse would she have had, and would she have necessarily had to have registered her designs to successfully sue the retailer?
Yeah, no thanks. Again, how long do you have? I had one of these when my daughters were younger. The youngest is now 18. And I'll tell you what the law says. And I haven't looked at the products. I only looked at them in pictures. But it just shows the power of the social media. But that is another question.
Yeah.
But first, the first thing we must remember is there is nothing wrong with copying. If I design a product, for example, a baby carrier, and I put it on the market, and I haven't registered a design or a patent, anybody can copy me. There is nothing wrong with copying. So fundamentally, you can be copied. But there's a social issue here, a social media issue. I've briefly looked at, for example, the Ergo baby carriers. Now, if you just go onto Google and you go on your pictures and you put in Ergo baby carriers, I see many carriers there that look exactly the same to me on the pictures as the Ubuntu and the Woolworths carrier. So I don't think that they said Woolworths copied her idea. What is the idea? The idea of a baby carrier that looks very similar to the Ubuntu or the Woolworths is definitely not new. So you can't register a design after the fact, so you have to register it before. So I think in this case, the Ubuntu product was not protectable by way of a patent or a design. So what other recourses are there? There's something that they call copyright. That also will not work in this instance. There is passing off. So Woolworths can't pass their product off as being an Ubuntu product. I don't think they did that.
No.
There's unlawful competition, which I think, that's a very difficult thing to prove. And then there's trademark infringement, and on the face of it, I don't see any trademark infringement. So Woolworths is not my client, but if they were my client, my immediate advice without seeing the products would have been, you are okay in law, but not in social media. And I don't know, maybe Jeremy, you have some views on this.
Before Jeremy interjects, let's continue, Bastian. I want to ask you, so do you think that their hand was forced because they didn't want to be unpopular with the South African public because, you know, social media is so powerful in this country.
Exactly. So, again, I haven't looked at the products. I don't know the background. But just looking at what I can see in the last few hours when I looked at the pictures on the internet, the concept of a baby carrier is not new. And I've seen various ones from other companies that looks on the face of it virtually the same as the Ubuntu and the Woolworths product. So I think it might be in this case that the social media has maybe become more powerful than the law.
So Jeremy, do you think that's the reason? Because why would they decide to withdraw the product? You know, it would have cost them a lot of money to, you know, put all this product out on the shelves, and now to decide to completely discontinue. Why would they make that decision?
Well, Bastian has really touched on it, and you know, just let's take a step back. When you think of a baby carrier, you know, just go onto Amazon and you see almost hundreds of different baby carriers locally. Go onto Pep or Edgar's, go onto BabySense, go onto all the local places. You see a fantastically wide range of things. So, yes, what did they register? I don't even know if they've registered the name Ubuntu Baba, whether they've registered the logo that's appearing on the product. They certainly haven't registered many things. No, let's face it, in some countries you can actually register color combinations. I don't think they've done any of that. So there's been a vacuum, and that vacuum has played into the hands of the social media. As I say, it's been like a firestorm, call it a lynching mob, call it what you like. It's got incredibly emotive, and I think some of that emotiveness was led by the use of words like shameless, which Shannon was using, and I think it caught Woolworths surprisingly, and I stress surprisingly, off guard. And this is where social media is incredibly potent, it's incredibly quick and agile, and Woolworths weren't ready for it, which I think is a little bit shocking given, first of all, their size and how they are so aligned to integrity, etc., etc. So that vacuum has played into the hands of the social media. And I come back then to the Twitter statement I've seen, and that's what I've seen this afternoon, where the tone of voice, the choice of words, much more professional, much more contrite. I'm not quite sure how much they've admitted to, but as you've stated already, they said, right, there were striking similarities. So as a result of that, we're going to withdraw from the whole scene. And I think, to be blunt, they had little choice because really just looking at social media over about 3-4 days, it has been growing in its power. Some very powerful people have been aligning themselves to, you know, in this case, the David versus the Goliath. And in the end, I think there was a lose-lose situation for Woolworths unless they put up their hands and said, okay, in this case, we're going to surrender.
Yeah, because then the problem then comes that it goes beyond the baby carrier, doesn't it? Suddenly, people now decide to go and shop elsewhere and not at Woolies because they've got beef with Woolies, and it all starts with that small baby carrier.
Well, you're quite right, and this is where when we talk of a brand, you know, it's not just a trademark, it's not just patents and things, it's the total experience. So you walk into a Woolworths, it's the totality of even the lighting, the way it's set up. All that is geared to make you as a consumer think, wow, I like this place, I trust them, I'm happy to spend my money with them, even though they might not be the cheapest. Mm. Incidentally, this is an interesting thing about Ubuntu Baba. They were pricing themselves, from what I saw on a website, of about 1,200 to 1,400 rand per item. And again, if you go onto Amazon or whatever, you'll see that prices there started about 250 rand. The majority seem to be between 400 and 500 rand. So I don't know where Baba Ubuntu, or shall I say Ubuntu Baba, got their pricing, but they were really trying to charge a huge premium, which I don't think would have been very helpful to them either.
Well, to be fair to them, I mean, I did read something that Shannon wrote. She indicated that they use natural materials, they produce the stuff here in South Africa, they create jobs as a result, and her assertion was that the likes of Woolies can afford to retail the very same item at 500 rand because they'll use different materials, you know, lesser quality material, and at the same time, obviously, just import it from China, and they're playing a volume game as well. So that's what she said.
But I read that, and you're quite right. I agree with what she said, but I think that's a whole new debate, Nonpu. I think we should have a lovely debate sometime about being proudly South Africa when you're paying three times the rates of imports. And are natural fibers, et cetera, the right thing for your baby today, given the huge advances in chemistry and synthetic? But that's a whole different debate. I totally accept that.
But I
think now we're going to move on.
Yeah.
And I think Woolworths will be very happy if they can damp down the whole debate as quickly as possible.
Bastian, we often talk about entrepreneurs being potential game changers for innovation and growth in the economy. What's your advice to people out there who think they've got a great idea, but they will obviously need to sell the idea to a potential funder? How important is it that they secure or register their idea before they share it with people? And is it a costly affair?
Look, in this case, yes. Potentially there was a design, but I don't think so. It's unlikely that there's a patent. But again, to protect this product, the trademark Ubuntu is probably the best. So, for example, as we said, there is nothing wrong with copying. I can today go and buy one of the Ubuntu baby carriers, take it apart, and make exactly the same thing. I just can't call it Ubuntu.
Yes.
So when you get to protection for innovation and entrepreneurs, they're horses for courses. In some cases, patents. In some cases, designs. Very often, trademarks. And sometimes, just staying ahead of the market. And in this case, I think the social media just play into the hands of the Ubuntu product.
Mm.
But again, as Jeremy said, you know, competition, one should encourage competition. Now, if you want the Ubuntu product, you pay $1,200 or $500, and there's something similar, much cheaper. And in principle, there's nothing wrong with copying a product like that unless it is protected by a design or a patent.
Hmm. Jeremy, we've had much discussion already, but just to conclude, what lessons can brands and even entrepreneurs learn from this latest example?
I think from the entrepreneurial side, it's often a small organization, a man or woman who come up with a great idea. And as Bastian says, they need professional advice. And that's difficult sometimes because I think as we're illustrating, there are so many facets to it. And that means there's going to be a financial cost as well. Mm-hmm. But you've got to actually, even if you record and put into sealed envelopes, I was told once, send them registered mail to your lawyers with the dates on, so that things can be tracked back. So you've got to try and do something to protect your IP. But then when it comes to the big boys, like a Woolworths, I think as we all know in business today, if there is one key word, it's agile. You've got to be quick. You've got to respond. I'm still amazed that from Woolworths' side, we haven't heard from the chief executive. To me, he should have been out there right away. And in the tone of voice, as issued this afternoon, be contrite, but say, look, we're looking into it. Give us time. It's been the holidays, and we'll be reporting back in 48 hours. Mm-hmm. But we've heard absolutely nothing from him, and I think that's unforgivable.
That was Jeremy Sampson. He's MD at Brand Finance Africa, and Bastian Costa, patent attorney and trademark specialist at Fonsaedel's law firm.